For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hello. We are back. It's been a minute,
but we're back. We didn't forget about everybody. It's another Briscoe and Big H show.
What's up, man? It's been, we've talked here and there, but you've had quite the last few weeks. You've been like gone.
Yeah, man, I've been super busy. The craziest thing is the getting back with the boys, doing the Aces and Eights reunion, and what a turnout. I mean, man, I got to put it up to Luke Gallows, the DOC. Man, he really, really put on a hell of a show. There were so many people. They were lined out around the building. I mean, of course, you know, we followed all the COVID laws, every restriction, people wearing masks. We did everything to the protocol. But, man, what a great turnout.
You guys did two different nights, right?
Yes, two different nights. So it was really good. One was in Rome, Georgia, and the other one was, I believe, in Laredo, Georgia.
Now, were these guys, did you wrestle at all?
I wrestled both nights, yeah.
Hell yeah. And like, you guys came out as Ace and Nate, did the whole thing?
Yeah.
Was it pretty crazy? Like, because you guys, there hasn't really been any, we talked about this before you left for that. There really hasn't been any real Aces and Nates reunion. You know, there's been talk, but no one's actually done it.
Yeah, there's been talk, but they finally put it together, and when they put it together, it was a really good thing. It just, I was really excited for it. And, you know, having Knox and Garrett and everyone there, D'Lo Brown, I mean, it was cool. I mean, me and Garrett set up a tag team, and then the Highwayman came in and jumped us. And after, I'll let you finish doing your texting.
Oh, I'm just putting our stuff out so people know we're live right now. There we go. Now people know.
But yeah, it was insane because I don't think I've seen like that much of us together,
right,
in one area in a very long time. And just to be able to see D'Lo Brown, I mean, that was phenomenal. I mean,
yeah. When's the last time you saw him?
TNA days.
Damn. Okay, so it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. No, wait. No, I saw him Paragon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Paragon Wrestling. He was there. He was one of the agents there. So that was the last time I saw him. But so that was a long time ago. And we also did a virtual signing with High Spots, me and Mike Knox. Big shout out to High Spots, man. High Spots really took care of us. And what a great company High Spots
is,
man. I never knew all the different avenues and stuff that they do for professional wrestling. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. You go to their website and you can literally be a fan and buy every memorabilia you want and all this other stuff. And then you can go to the other side of that website and you can buy your boots. You can buy
your singlet. Oh, I'll show you something really cool since we're talking about High Spots.
What's up, Chris, my bro? What's up?
We're talking
about you killed it at the Mall of America, by the way, brother. I watched that show. You killed that. And that's, look at that thing.
Out.
Where, did they print those?
This is a turnbuckle.
Yeah, did they make those?
Yes, and they're selling a limited edition. I think there's only 500 of these.
Wow. Of course,
I know you saw this because it was on Instagram, but
and that's awesome.
Fan art. But yeah, man, high spots, dude. That turnbuckle right there is probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And to have that turnbuckle and have all the boys sign it, that's definitely getting up in the office.
That's super awesome, man. I didn't see those turnbuckles. Dude, those things are so cool.
Sick, right?
Yeah, dude. That's really cool, man. So those are for sale right now on High Spots too, right?
Yeah, and they're actually stitched on. It's not just a logo press.
Oh, wow.
The thing is actually stitched on. So it's actually really, really good quality. So.
Oh, that's crazy. So everybody go check it out at highspots.com. And check it out. Man, I'm going to have to go check it out. Do you know how much they're going for? Kyle, what's up, buddy?
No.
Man, check it out, everybody. They'll get you. Those are awesome.
I know. When I saw it, everybody was like, I hope we get one. If not, we're going to try to steal one. Because everybody was just like, those are the coolest things we've ever seen. And they also made a vest, too.
Oh, really?
Vest, yes.
Nice.
And we got to keep one of those, too. So I have one of those.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, big shout out to High Spots, man. What a great company. Those guys are awesome, cool people, you know, from making knee pads to wrestling boots to rings to buying your merch to anything you want. Man, High Spots is where it's at.
That's very, very cool. Ryan, welcome to the show. Always a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you in Waterloo as well. So that'll be fun. Isabel, welcome, as well as Dan. Good to have you, Dan. Always good to see you, buddy. Yeah, man. You think any more Aces and Eights reunion down the line may happen?
I think there might be one at WrestleMania, maybe, but it might not be all of the crew. It might just be a handful of us.
Okay, so everybody make sure you stay tuned. And if you're not already following Wes online on Twitter, it's just at Wes Briscoe on everything, right?
Yeah, Wes Briscoe 19 on Instagram.
That's right.
And then... Wes Briscoe on Twitter and Facebook.
Hell yeah. So, guys, get on there, follow him, and you will then find out what he's talking about because that sounds awesome. Yeah. WrestleMania is just around the corner.
Yeah, it's next week. So
snuck up, dude.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do anything, but Luke Gallows hit me up and was like, hey, man, you want to come join me at my table? And you know, he's like one of the hottest things right now. So
yeah, man,
might as well hop in and sell some autographs and spend some more time with them and get to hang out. So looking forward to that. I mean, the show was crazy. And then it's going to be on pay-per-view. I'm sure you can find it on his website. We did a huge 8-man tag, which was crazy.
Nice.
I did the crazy front flip off the top to the floor. Me and Garrett fluke slammed someone through a table. Gallows threw someone over a handrail onto the first floor. It was pretty much, as you can say, mayhem.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I would love to see someone big bring that faction back. You know what I mean? And really do it. You know, that would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Shit, AEW, you guys have 20 factions now. What's one more? Let's just do it. You already got half the guys there.
Yeah,
man. So WrestleMania week is here. So you're going to probably be – is that in that area then, or is it somewhere else just during the same time?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. So details coming soon. I haven't really looked. I think they are doing a WrestleCon and stuff. It's going to be weird to see how they do this whole WrestleMania week.
Yeah. We'll see. Tampa's pretty open with their rules, so we'll see. It should be fine. I don't know. I know there's a lot of virtual stuff going on and stuff like that, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, a lot of the meet and greets this year that WWE are doing are all online. And man, they sold out quick for 2 minutes. You get 2 minutes, and it was 100. Because I was looking at it because I seen Alexa Bliss on there, and I was like, I mean, I got that stimulus check. And then I was like, $150 for 2 minutes. Nah, I'm good. No, you're not getting my money. Sorry, guys. That's just to me. That's crazy. Like, yeah, maybe if it was like 5 minutes, I can understand.
Yeah.
But like even 2 minutes? Yeah, even 5 minutes rough.
I know some rappers do it like $5,000 and stuff like that. For
that is crazy. I want to know the people who are paying it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's super crazy.
People are.
Oh, man. So have you paid attention to any of the stuff for WrestleMania that they're doing match-wise or anything?
Negative's too long.
It is too long.
Too many matches.
There's no need for it two nights.
No, it's way too long and way too many matches for anybody to even comprehend one storyline. I guess it's not even storylines. I guess it's just matches, just to have matches, which, you know, kind of defeats the whole purpose of WrestleMania back in the days, was the kind of blow off to every major storyline,
yes,
to everything that meant everything that whole entire year, what they worked so hard to create and build, and now it's just matches.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you said that. On another show, I made that same point this last week that what triggered it for me was when Rhea Ripley debuted on Raw, and instantly got a title match at Mania for the title with Asuka. I was like, there's just no story. She just showed up, and they're going to have a match. And I said the same thing. Growing up, WrestleMania was always a big deal because it was always going to be the end to these things that I've been watching for months now, these storylines, you know, Hogan and Savage and you know, Hart and Michaels and all this stuff, you know, watching it and being so pumped for the day of Mania because I'm going to see these epic matches finally happen and an ending, a result. And it just doesn't feel like that anymore. Now I'm like, I'm picking the matches that I'm like actually going to pay attention to because it's, and then you're doing two nights, they're doing two nights of NXT too, going into it, as well as the Hall of Fame somewhere in there.
Oh my God.
And then also Friday, they're going to do SmackDown. So, I mean, it's literally, they're going Monday through Monday.
Yeah, that's too much. I think that's just overload. I mean,
it is.
You're looking at 2 weeks of wrestling in Tampa, of just so much wrestling that people are just going to be over it. They're not even going to want to watch. I mean, they still will because everyone's going to be like, oh, we were. I mean, I don't know. Because it's, I guess, what? They're still letting a lot of people in the stadium, so.
Yeah.
That is, and then, too, they're going to let people in for Raw, for SmackDown, and those are all in different venues. So, I don't know. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm excited. I'm excited to see the set. That's always one of my favorite things of these new age manias.
Especially with our stadium, the Tampa Bay Bucks Stadium, the Super Bowl champions. We have a really nice stadium.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward to what they're going to do. And wonder if someone's going to do something off the pirate ship. I really hope so.
Well, I've heard rumors that the pirate ship will be part of the entrance, and there's rumors, too, that Kevin Owens last year going into Mania, in an interview said he hopes to jump off the pirate ship. He needs to make it part of his match. Well, this year, they just announced this last week, he's getting a match at Mania and is with Sami Zayn. So we're finally going to see Kevin Steen and El Generico bring what they did on the indies and finally have a WrestleMania stage to do it.
That'll be tight. I mean, I just wish there wasn't so many matches. I just wish there wasn't.
Yeah, I wish it was one night. I do. I really do. I don't see, again, and then two nights of NXT is just crazy. That's four nights of big shows. That's not counting Hall of Fame, Raw, and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Man, $75 for a 20-minute Zoom with Jericho, that's not bad. That's better than $150 for 2 minutes. What can you even say in 2 minutes, dude?
Yeah, hi and goodbye.
Right. Like, could you imagine if that was like every meet and greet you had to do, Wes? They were like, okay, 2 minutes, and then they're gone.
That's actually a long time.
You think? I don't know. To me, it would go by quick because I always end up wasting the first minute being like, I'm a fan.
Yeah,
like, I'm awkward.
That's when security comes and pushes you away. And we go,
right. See, I remember meeting AJ Lee.
You know, the thing, if every person does that, there's 200 people, 200 times 5 minutes. How many minutes is that?
Right.
That's a long ass fucking time.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a long time of just, okay, now I got to do this 200 times more.
You know, and to be honest, too, like, I've been to Access back in the day. I've waited in those lines at Access for the signings and the pitchers with the superstars. And there's sometimes where you don't even, you don't get to them. By the time you get up to the stage, they're gone and someone else is there.
Yeah, or they just push you through because there's mm-hmm. too many people. I mean, you don't, there's no way that they can possibly, if not, the wrestler's going to be there all night. He's never going to leave. I mean, that happened to one of our, at one of our shows for the Ace and Nate reunion. We ended up doing it right till like we had to walk out and wrestle, and it's just like, because it's like you feel bad because like, you want to give them their time because they paid extra, but yet they're just like, they don't say nothing. It's like 5 minutes later, then they want pictures, and you're like, oh my God, like, let's go, let's keep it moving. And then next thing you know, it's like the show's already started and we all have to go wrestle. And it's like, all right. And you feel bad because there's maybe two more people left, but you can't do it because all the other people took too long or they just didn't have their shit together.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Do you prefer doing them before or after the match?
Preferably after. Before. Just because afterwards, I'm too tired. Usually, and I'm usually main event or semi-main, so I'm always like last, so that means it takes longer for me to get out. I'd rather sign it and then get done with and then be able to go back and get out because usually they don't have showers or I mean, it all depends. If it's a nice building and they got showers, I can go shower and go relax. And if I'm getting paid good and they got a hotel room, and but most of the time it's 11 o'clock at night, all the restaurants close around 11 o'clock. So then you're trying to rush people because A, you like haven't ate all day and you're trying to get food and you know, the restaurants close at a certain time. So, you know, you can't get food. And then you're like, okay, so now I'm not eating until tomorrow.
You're right.
No, for real.
Yeah, no, you're right, though. That's just how it goes.
Sucks. Like, that happened to us, again, in Georgia. And then you forget, like, man, forget about wrestling, of, like, not being able to eat that night because you stayed there all night selling signing autographs and selling pictures. Next thing you know, you're finally leaving the building, and it's 12 o'clock. And the only thing that's open is McDonald's, and I don't eat that. So, you know, like, some people are cool with that, but I eat really healthy. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm not eating tonight.
Right.
I'll go to the gas station and get a little Muscle Milk or something, like, you know, so it's not really ideal.
Right. Have you had any more crazy gas station adventures recently?
No.
Nothing
no.
since you had to throw the crazy guy out?
Uh-uh. It's been pretty mellow. Pretty mellow.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So you're going to be doing some other stuff down the road here as well in the ring. Did you want to get to that announcement?
Yeah. I mean, signed a deal with SWE and really pumped to go out there out in Texas and represent Teddy Long. Made the right decision in signing me, and looking forward to it. We're doing pay-per-views, TV, and we're really going to shake things up, and I'm going to go out there and kick some ass. Looking forward to it.
Hell yeah. Spring Stampede going down April 24th in Southern Junction in Irvine, Texas. So Dallas area, Fort Worth area. Mr. Wes Briscoe's coming down. Look at that, man. Look at that picture, though.
Yeah, and you'll be able to catch it on pay-per-view. And
oh, heck
also,
yeah.
It's on local TV out there all throughout Texas.
Hell yeah.
In some other states. But you can go to Fight and check out the pay-per-view. It'll be a great pay-per-view. I mean, the roster is just full of talent. And
it's crazy.
We've got a lot of good people behind them. And I'm very excited to be with a company that's like, yeah, Wes, we're excited. And the funniest thing is I talked to one of the guys today. And he was like, man, we're getting a huge buzz about you out here. They're really looking forward for you coming back to Texas. And I was like, I'm looking forward to coming back to Texas.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
guess. It's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hell yeah, dude. Last time I was in Texas in the Dallas area was the week of Mania when I ran into you at Wally Mania.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course, my match with Kurt Angle, I've had a lot of big matches in Texas, so, and the Texas crowd has always been good with me, and I've wrestled in Texas a bunch, so I really enjoy the Texas crowd and the Texas people.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. People are going to enjoy that. You've been saying, like, you've noticed this as you're going out, especially this last weekend, like, people are just pumped to get out and be at shows. Are you also noticing, too, that you're, like, has bookings become a lot busier now? Because this whole last year has been just weird.
I guess so, but not really. I mean, depending on the state, you know, okay. There's some states that are allowing and some states not. Like, can't go do it in California and other places like that. But, like, you know, it is good to – people are enjoying getting out. And that's one thing that, you know, people were saying to us at all the autograph signings, that people enjoy being outside the house and actually interacting with other people, not just like, let's say, wrestlers, but being in a building full of other people and just experiencing other people, because, you know, that helps brightens everyone's day. When you see everyone happy and everyone's cheering, because, you know, at a wrestling event, you're not going to see really negativity in the crowd.
Right.
Everyone's pretty much along with the ride, you know? So
right.
That's the cool thing about pro wrestling is that, you know, everyone's getting along, everyone's cheering, and everyone's booing for the same people, usually. So it's pretty cool to see, you know, everyone just super happy and unified and just, I thought, what a great experience. Again, you know, I got to thank Luke Gallows, Laredo Pro Wrestling, everybody, just what a great, great, great show. Hopefully we do it again.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Yeah, like I said, I'm up here in Minnesota. I'm starting to see shows are finally popping up again and happening around here. So that's been very exciting. I'm actually going to one in a few weeks in the Twin Cities area. I think I'm going in Iowa in May. I don't know. I guess I haven't gotten confirmation on tickets on that one yet. So I guess I don't know.
Hey, I thought it was July.
Their anniversary show's in May. Hall of Fame is July.
Okay, and it's the first week of July, right?
Second Hall of Fame July. Is the 15th through 17th? Does that sound right? Is that a weekend?
Behind my calendar up.
I think that's right.
Maybe. But
I'm pretty sure that's correct. And actually, the stuff for the Hall of Fame is actually – They're definitely going full steam ahead as far as it's going to be happening, because they're really pushing it right now as far as, like, tickets are on sale, get them, all that good stuff. So, yeah, guys, it's going to be a good time. July 16th, so that's a Friday. So, yeah, the 15th through the 17th. And you can get your all-access passes for it. What's that?
It starts on a Thursday?
That's when they have the first night for the meet and greet and welcome, or the welcome happy hour at the Hall of Fame for All Access Pass and the guests. And then, yep, Friday's basically wrestling and podcast day.
And then Saturday
is all the Hall of Fame stuff and then the banquet, which is always an awesome time. Yeah, and somewhere then on there on Friday, we should be doing the live podcast. Went over very well last time. It was enjoyable. A little stressful going into it, but it was enjoyable once we did it. And I think we proved our worth at that thing for anybody who didn't realize what we were doing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was definitely a good time. So hopefully Troy lets us do it bigger and better and, you know, gives us a little bit bigger of a space. And, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Ryan, thanks. We'll welcome those, I guess, down there. Yeah, it's going to be a good time, though. I can't wait. What's that?
Nothing.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So I've got the hotel booked already for that. So we've got our little studio area that's going to be set up to do whatever we want while we're there as far as Briscoe and Big A's content. So it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Let me ask you something, though. We've been talking about these meet and greets and everything, and you just did these two awesome meet and greets and matches with the Aces and Nates from Union. I know you're not, like, a wrestling guy as far as because you work in the business, it's your life and all that kind of stuff, but, like, what are the things that you do fan out for? Like, who is somebody that in your world of West Briscoe, you'd be like, okay, I would maybe pay for that meet and greet because that's someone that, you know, like, what do you fan out and freak out over? Like, what gets you like, oh, man. I know you're, like, a big music guy because you and I talk music and concerts all the time and stuff, but.
Probably some talking with some real estate mogul.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I don't really care for actors or like. Not,
like a Gary Vee?
Yeah, or like, I don't. Music or sports people, I've just been around it my whole life that it's just like, I don't really. Doesn't. I don't know. I feel those are just people just like me.
Oh, dude, and
I like to meet people that are like super successful outside of the norm, or like someone that's done something else and then created themselves in a whole nother way by whatever they do. I'm more intrigued of people taking their life into another level of like leveling up, you know, being entrepreneurs and people that, you know, started out with nothing or had a little bit and used all their contacts and created a mogul by just, you know, working hard. I don't know. Those are the people that I would probably fan out to be just because maybe that's the stage of life that I'm in, you know, like, cause everyone, I think maybe would be in different stages of their lives where they're like, oh, I would love to see like when I was a kid, it would probably be some rock band or somebody.
Right. Right.
But now it's like, I'd rather see some real estate mogul guy that's like crazy and, you know,
right.
That's
not a not normal answer though. Right. Like I said, like Gary Vee is someone who's, you know, a business mogul and people pay thousands of dollars to just see him and like get like 5 minutes.
That Manny Cushman guy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's a bunch of guys, Jim Norton. He does real estate. There's a bunch of real estate guys that are on YouTube and other platforms that are famous that are, but I'd rather meet the people that are not, that you don't know about.
Right.
I'd rather meet those people. I'd rather meet the people that you have no clue, you know, like those are the people that I want to know because that's the type of person I am. Like,
right.
I want to be like how they are, you know, like those people are two different breeds, you know, like, there's a breed that has their money and no one knows and they're doing real. And then those people that are like the Manny Cushmans that buy three Bugattis and all this stuff and wants to be famous. And like, that's the exact opposite. I want to like lay low and no one know.
Right. You just want to know you're good. Things are taken care of.
Same clothes over and over again.
Yeah,
just shorts and flip flops.
I was gonna say, well, and you don't wear shirts anyway, so it's literally just shorts and flip flops.
Yeah, so I could do one pair of shorts could last 3 years, so I'll be good, bro.
Dude, I mean, you could literally, like, you've always talked about you love Puerto Rico. Like, you could literally, like, go live there on the beach, not go anywhere, and just stay there, yeah. And you'd be content. You know what I mean? Like, that you are a very, very chill person. Like, you kind of just vibe out, which is awesome. That's why we get along.
I've lived in the city. I've done every – lived in the city, lived in the country.
Well, dude, you've done so much. I mean, I saw your post – was it today you posted the photo of you guys doing the photo shoot for your signature board?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you look like a baby. It was crazy.
Yeah. I was like 24, 25.
It's amazing to see stuff like that and be like, dang, we're getting old. But, dude,
that was my second pro model, too.
Okay, so you've had one before that.
Yeah, that wasn't even my first one. That was my second one.
That's so nuts. Do you ever get, and not necessarily maybe get back in the water and do it, like competing, but do you ever think about getting involved with that world of pro wakeboarding again ever? Just, like, go to some events maybe, judge some?
I've gone to events, but I just not. I just, my body can't hold up to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you ever miss it, though?
My body's not physically capable of doing that.
So everybody watching, understand what he's saying. His body's taking that much of a beating in the water wakeboarding that he wrestles instead. Like, so if anybody's like, oh, Russ, you know, wakeboarding's not that. Rather just ride water. You just water, like, no, that hurts.
No, you're strapped into something. So there is no give and take on the body. And wakeboarding, you're not landing on transition. You're landing on a flat surface, so you're constantly compressing your body. It's not like surfing or snowboarding or anything, or skateboarding where you're landing on another ramp where it's like perfectly smooth.
Right.
It's landing flat, so it's always jarring your body. You're always constantly bam, bam. So after a while, the body doesn't want to do that no more.
I bet. I was going to say, did you use the skateboard too at all?
Yeah.
Like just for fun?
I used to do like kickflips, shove it. I could start kickflip and shove it right now by grabbing the skateboard.
Oh, that's great.
I've done it so many times that, you know what I mean? Like,
you're right. There's on one of the AEW vlogs this last week on their YouTube, they have Brian Cage trying to do a kickflip for... Like, he did it a bunch of times, but he nails it, and it's great.
Yeah, he actually nailed a front side flip.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
It was 180. So funny that they all are just skateboarding backstage now. Like, all.
Yeah, that's kind of not the best thing I would be doing before I do this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was seeing that. I was like, that just looks like an easy way to hurt yourself before you have to go work.
Just roll your ankle. I mean, that's probably the worst that's going to happen. But if you roll your ankle, you can't be running the ropes or doing anything like that. So that's the whole thing. Is like, I've seen people roll their ankle or break their ankle just messing around like that. But you know what? They can do what they want to do.
Yeah, man.
I don't tell anybody anything.
No. No, it's not our job. It's no one's job. Yeah, man. That's so... What else have you, like, you literally can do any extreme sport. You've done them all. Like, you've snowboarded. I know you've, water ski, I'm assuming, just because you've done. Wait, can you do the barefoot stuff?
I've never water skied that barefooted, but I've never water skied.
Would it be harder to do it on skis, you think, than doing your barefoot?
I don't know. I've never done it. I'm sure I could do it. I mean, I don't know. Never did it.
That's crazy. I want to come out and actually try to do some of the body surfing. I keep watching Action Bronson doing it, and I'm like, you know, I think I can do that.
A body surf?
Yeah.
Boogie board?
Yeah. I think I could do it.
The surf community.
You getting a clown on me?
Yeah, they don't really. They get along, but not really. They don't.
Well, let me do it for, like, a couple times, and then once I feel comfortable with that, I'll try to stand on a surfboard.
Sure, you can sponge it up.
I do want to try it. I really do. Watching, like, some of the stuff you're doing in Puerto Rico, I was like, I really would like to actually try getting on a surfboard someday and see if I can do it.
Yeah. You definitely could. Just take practice.
I always just think I can't do that kind of stuff because I'm just fat and overweight, and I'm like, that just is why I shut myself down with it. But like, I do want to try.
Fat and overweight people do it.
Right. Yeah, and that's just it.
Picture of a fat, overweight person doing it.
Dude, they're gonna come up.
That guy's fat and overweight, and he serves better than me.
Right. The guy's gonna come up to you and be like, "Bro, why are you taking pictures of me on my board? I gotta show my friend back in Minnesota."
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's more than one of them. It's not like there's just one out of shape person out there. There's actually a bunch. That's why they make longboards.
Okay, so is that better for the balance?
Yeah, it's a huge board. It's like I put you on a board that's 8 feet long.
Yeah, I would feel comfortable with that. I would feel very comfortable with that. Yeah, I can handle that.
Well, first you got to get out there.
Yeah, how far out are we talking? That's
well, first is that's not the problem. It's getting past the first two waves and not giving up. That's when most people will give up. That's when I see most beginners give up, is when they like get hit and then they're like, fuck, this is hard. And then they start swimming and they're like, bam. And they're like, wow, this is really hard. And then they start breathing and they're like, man, this is really hard. I'm not going to get anywhere. And then they just turn around and go back to the beach.
How many people have you taught how to surf? Have you taught anybody?
Taught multiple people, yeah.
Okay, so like, how does it generally go? Like, have you had anybody quit on you?
Most people do.
Really?
Yeah, most people do. There's only a few that don't. And normally, most time, if they do, they just make it out, and they're, like, happy to make it out and don't even catch a wave and just swim.
They're just like, hey, I was on it. I was on the board.
Like, those are people that are, like, think that they know how to surf. They come surfing with me, and they'll be like, oh, man, I know how to surf. Take me on a day, and then I'll call them. And it'll be like 5 or 4 feet, not very big, but to them it's like, holy shit. And I'm like looking behind me and they're like drowning and flipping around, their boards all over the place. I'm like, you said you know how what you're doing. But like, I wouldn't take you out on a day like that. I would take you out on a day that was probably 1 foot. Like literally the wave would probably be this high.
Yeah, and I would feel very comfortable about that. I'd feel good about that.
Yeah, but you said you weren't scared of that. You're scared of what's in the water. So that's
well, yeah, I don't want to get eaten by a shark.
Yeah, and I can't get eaten. You just get bit.
I mean, neither one's a good day.
Two different things.
Neither one's a great day, though. I've heard, you scare me, though, bro. That's the thing. You tell me these stories about, oh, yeah, that one hit me, freaking surrounded me. Like, what? Don't tell me that.
Yeah, but you understand, I've been in the water 100 or a million times. So
right.
I've been a counter or something by just odds of probability, I'm going to run into one. I mean, just the amount of time I spend in the water, it's going to happen.
Right. Have you ever caught a shark while fishing?
Yeah.
Like a big boy at all?
Yeah.
When you're doing your deep sea stuff?
Yeah, there's one on my Instagram from a while back in the Keys. It's
only
a shark, though, but yeah. All the time. Most of the time, they break it off, though. It has to be a really hard leader. A leader is what's attached to your line.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're deep sea fishing, most fish have like actual like jaws, so they'll break the line. So you put a metal leader. And depending on how strong that leader is whether if a shark will bite it off or not. Because usually, most times, a shark will bite that leader off because that leader is only, like, I don't know, like, not very strong. It's strong enough for, like, a tuna or a wahoo not to snap it off,
mm-hmm.
but not strong enough for a shark. I mean, they do make shark leaders and bigger leaders, but I don't use those type of leaders because that adds more weight and drag onto the actual line and lure. So I use the certain amount of, you know.
Right.
It all depends.
Nice. I need to get more into fishing. I was hoping to do that this year. You know, because up here where I'm at, I mean, we got lakes all over. You know what I mean?
You just got to be ready. Always ready.
Look at you. Dude, you're like my buddy who lives next door. Like, the guy's got like 5 poles in his car ready to go at all times.
I have one usually in my truck all the time.
Nice.
And then I can always stop and usually throw one out.
Dude, I've gone. Like, I go here and there throughout the good season here in Minnesota, but it's literally been, like, maybe 10 years since I've actually caught a fish. I've gotten bites, but I just have not caught shit, dude. Literally, it was in my teens when I caught a fish last.
Man, I don't. I just probably don't know what you're doing.
Oh, I definitely don't. I'm not good at it. But, like, when I do go with, like, other friends, though, they have bad luck, too. So I just, I don't know, maybe I'm cursed, dude.
Or maybe your friends don't know how to fish.
That could
be too. Are they posting pictures all the time of them catching fish, or do they fish every once in a while?
No, one of them does. One of them goes literally, like, every day and catches shit all the time. And he's caught them when I'm around him, and he's just like, you suck.
Most of the time, it's people just don't. I mean, I fish a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are days that I don't catch anything, but the next day I would catch something. Like, it's not going to go 2 days in a row. Like, that's not. And even then, I could still catch something. Like, I went and, like, maybe didn't catch the fish that I was looking for. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Where I catch stuff, I always throw it back, but it's not the fish that I'm looking for or the fish that I want to eat. So I'm not going to just kill or a random fish just to do it. So I always throw it back, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'll have to keep you updated on how good my fishing skills can become this summer if I actually can get out and do it.
Get a pole first.
I have one. I have two. They're in my closet. I have them. I just don't go.
Is the same lure tied to it?
How long
has that line been on that fishing pole?
Yeah, okay. It's been there a couple of years because it only gets used a few times a year. But
yeah, I'm going to redo the line because it sucked if you actually caught a fish and the line broke because it's old line.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Yeah, and that would be my luck too. You know what I mean? So I'll have to look into that. I'm going to get more into golf this summer. That was my goal. It starts on Saturday. I'm pumped. It's going to happen. Dude, a couple years from now, I'm going to make it. My plan is to get good enough at golf that I could become a pro on the senior tour since I'm already kind of past the rest of the, you know, it's a little late. I'm already almost 40. So
you probably have to be really good to do that. I mean, those guys have been playing golf for a long ass time. So
They're getting old though, dude. Like their eyes aren't as good. They're kind of losing it. They're slowing down.
Your eyes are going to be bad too if you're the same age bracket.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know.
The golfers have been playing their whole life, they're like, look at this guy.
I know.
And then they're just and laugh, and you're like, nervous. They're like, you've never played in front of a crowd, have you? And you're like, no.
Dude, I know. That's true. I've been to some tournaments where there's people around when you tee off and everybody's watching, and it's just like
dead silence.
Just staring. Yep. Oh yeah, dude. That and
okay, he's our first forehand.
Right. That and when
he steps back. He's sweating a lot. He wipes the forehead again. He goes back up for his swing. Oh no. Wipes the sweat off again. Guys, be quiet. He goes up. Shank.
Yep. Oh yeah. He
goes, boo.
So growing up,
over his knee,
right,
it goes into the fairway,
and then my luck, it'll just hurt my knee and it won't even break. Then I'll look even worse.
He missed the club and broke his knee.
Dude, when I was growing up, like most of my childhood and teen years, and even adult years, I've been a bowler my whole life. Like it was just when I was like 4 years old, I got a bowling ball put in my hand at a bowling alley, and it just stuck, I guess. And yeah, man, there's been some times where I've had to do some shots like that. I opened up a tournament as a kid, and I had to bowl off with the mayor, and like 300 people are packed in this bowling alley just dead quiet watching me and this dude bowling the whole time. I'm like, 12, and he doesn't know how to bowl. Like, I've got to beat him. Like, I'm going to be really embarrassed. He beat me. But like that, and then like when I was coaching, I coached the high school team for bowling too, and that was like – watching my kids up there bowling when we're bowling to go to the state tournament and there's like, you know, 300 people in the alley and it's like, dude, it was nerve wracking, bro. I was losing it. Oh, dude, I took my bowling serious, man. I was good.
300 people at a bowling contest.
Yeah, the high school stuff, yeah. Oh yeah, the high school matches. Yeah.
Yeah, all their parents.
Yeah, well, yeah, but they're all there watching those matches, and then it was bracket. So. We had like 8 on our varsity team.
I doubt there's 200 people there.
Either way, a bowling alley full of people, though. So.
It was like my high school wrestling matches, and we were good. There wasn't 200 people there watching.
Oh, no, not normally. This was like our roll-off. This was like our conference tournament to go to the state tournament. Okay. So that's why. Yeah. That's why.
I thought you just meant like regular bowling. Like,
No.
Man. There is no way in hell.
No. This was this was our conference tournament. Because the funny thing is, I had really good kids on the team, but we just weren't that great. We were last place in our conference. We were supposed to be eliminated right away in the conference tournament. We were not supposed to do anything. We ended up going.
Anything to do with the coach?
No, it was. There was just some really strong teams in the conference too, because like the one team, one of the towns south of us has won like state like 5 years in a row, all that stuff. So, and you know, we just didn't have that great of a team, man. A lot of beginners and stuff like that. We didn't have some of those places had like 8 kids that were solid junior bowlers their whole life. Where I had kids that like they picked it up for the first time joining the team, because we didn't have enough kids.
Didn't have enough on the squad to keep it going.
Basically, yeah, but I had enough good guys to bowl our varsity team, but again, we weren't the top. And again, I was my first year coaching too, so yeah, I was before that my coaching experience was coaching soccer. You know, I had never coached a bowling team, and I was like, how do I even do this? Like, I know how to bowl, I've done it my whole life, but how do I coach? Whatever. But no, we ended up going through the whole tournament, and we got to the final match. And that's why everybody stuck around, too, because they knew we sucked. So they were like, they were like, there's no way these kids are going to actually pull this off. Like, no way. And then we ended up we ended up bowling the first seeded team, and we ended up beating them in the last game because it's, first to 7, or best out of 7 each match. And, we pulled it off and won, and it was...
So then what happened after that?
Oh, then we went to state and immediately got rolled out. Immediately, bro. I felt so bad for my kids, dude, because they were so pumped that we made it to state. And
they were like, come on, we're going to practice even harder. And then
I mean, we practiced and we, you know. But
you were like, oh, we practiced. But you guys didn't really train.
No, we did. We had our practices.
Like, yay! And you're like, you know what? We'll take a couple days off. You guys relax, you know.
All right. Well, we did what we could do just because...
You go right to training right when you get back.
Well, I hope some of them did. The unfortunate part is we can only practice when we practice because, you know, someone's got to pay for that time at the bowling alley, and unfortunately the school and the bowling alley didn't want to help us with that. So not a lot of money coming in because we weren't treated like any of the other sports teams because we kind of weren't.
Yeah, I don't know too many schools that have a bowling alley.
You got to really know about your school to know that. Otherwise, it's not. It's more of a club, but that you can letter and varsity and all that stuff. So, and again, it means a lot to the kids. But yeah, man, we went up there. We spent the night. We went to the bowling alley the night before so they could practice and get used to the lanes. And then we just got killed, man. I mean, there was teams rolling 300s though the first like game of the very first opening tournament. So it was like we were in the deep, man. We weren't ready for that.
I rolled 300s like all the time.
Yeah, one of my kids is...
And he holds a bowling ball like...
Oh, he does a two-hander, yeah.
No, maybe two. I don't know how he does it, but he'll smoke you on golf and bowling, I guarantee you. He does, like, his worst days are 300. Like, that's like him, like, bowling, like, really, really shitty. And the crazy
thing... Well, no, what is, like, his really worst shitty, though? Because it can't be 300, though.
Why?
Because 300 is the highest you can get.
Okay,
that's perfect.
Well, then what's like?
So like,
he bowls like.
Like 200 to 220 somewhere in there, average. Would be like pros.
40 to 50.
All right, yeah.
Like,
so he's
good enough where he's won like multiple tournaments.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's been like, to the USBCs.
He was like a wakeboarder, and
oh, nice.
He was like crazy good at wakeboarding. He could do more tricks than I could ever think of, like. He was just something. He was so talented, but he never really applied himself.
Okay.
Golf, dude. him and my roommate, well, we're both, I had two roommates, and they both were like guys that you wouldn't think that play golf, but play golf since they were like 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there like fooling, having like tournaments against each other, and you would never even know, but they were like really good. Like, I'm talking about like really good at golf and bowling. I was like, huh.
It's weird when you find out people that are good at those things that you don't hear a lot of people doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he golfs every once in a while, but even when he golfs, everyone's like, he always posts his score, and he's always like Mike Knox. Mike Knox has won like 4 or 5 tournaments.
Nice. Yeah, and I know Chavo's into it.
Like really, really good at golf.
Nice. Hell yeah, man. That's funny. No, yeah, it's. I felt bad for the kids, though. They immediately just – dude, one of my kids, during practice of the actual state tournament, there's, you know, like 30 teams there from the state. He throws his ball down for a practice shot, comes back, and he's like, my thumb hole fell out. Because, you know, bowling balls, the guys who do all the hook, they have, like, the inserts in the holes and stuff. His whole thumb hole came out. And I was like, this is a sign. We haven't even had our first match yet, and your thumb hole came out. Like, this is a sign of things to come, and it was.
Their own bowling balls?
No, they did, but like they use glue and stuff to put these in. I don't know where he got it, like who his pro was, but it just the glue wasn't great. They didn't do a good enough job, so it eventually just came out. So, like, we had to go find the pro shop at this alley and, like, be like, dude, we need you to fix this right now. And they had to, like, glue it up, and we had to, like, let it dry.
That doesn't seem like the hard of a fix.
It's not that hard to fix. It's the dry time. Because he needed to bowl immediately, and unfortunately it was his only ball. So, like, we needed to make sure it was able to dry quick. You know what I mean? Otherwise it was just going to keep coming out. But it was a fun experience. The kids had fun. And, I don't know. We sucked, but... It was a fun moment when we won the actual tournament to go, though. Like, those kids, yeah. They were so happy. And I was just like, what happened? Like, I didn't do this. Like, we haven't won shit all year.
There you go. That's your coaching skill.
Hey, but I was, well, I mean, yeah.
You were just supportive.
No, we taught them and stuff. It was just a lot of it. They were different. Like, when I was that age, I grew up in the bowling alley. You know what I mean? Like, I was there 4 days a week. One of them was league. Like, that's what that's what me and some of my buddies did. We were just bowlers. And it was close to the house, so it was an easy walk and stuff. And that's just what I grew up doing. So, like, when I was in high school, I didn't actually bowl on the team. I kind of, like, was around it for a minute because my sister's husband at the time was the coach. And he was trying to get me to do it, but I wanted to play soccer instead because that's a real sport. Bowling's not real. It's just a club. So I was around it then, and I could have bowled it then. But then it was, like, everybody who bowled juniors who, like, they were the kids. I saw them all week at the bowling alley. We were always all there. It was, like, the same 6 kids from each school. And it was, like, so it was, like, different then. It was super good and competitive. And, like I said, when I got there, I had a lot of kids that we were teaching how to throw a ball for the very first time. They had never bowled. They just were like, yeah, I'll try it because we needed kids. We could take kids from other high schools. So we were, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
I know. Dude, I don't have a good athletic life like you did. I played soccer until I couldn't run anymore, and then I was like, okay. That's it.
Once?
Actually, yeah.
No joke, man.
Dude, I didn't know what a shin splint was till my, like, junior year in high school soccer.
Yeah. But that is crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, dude. That was horrible. I remember getting pulled out and being like, I can't stand. I don't know what's happening. And the coach is like, you got shin splints. I'm like, what's that? Yeah, he's like, just sit down, man.
They're not fun at all.
They're not. They really aren't. So what do you got going on this weekend, bro? You going to watch any of the Mania stuff? No?
I'm going to just be training for just get ready for that big pay-per-view in Texas.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be busting my butt. I'm like, I got to get some gym time. Actually, this is going to be really focused on working out and being in the best shape of my life.
Yeah, dude. Is that where you're at right now, man? Would you say this is the best shape of your life? When would you say that was?
3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to really up the cardio. And because I really haven't been doing anything due to like being at the Aces and Eights stuff,
yep.
doing all that. And hopefully there'll be some more to come of the Aces and Eights. I have a feeling that if the people want it, it will come back again. But we'll see. We'll leave it at that.
Well, I think people do want it. So I think that will come back. And then in case you guys missed it, what he's talking about again, Saturday, April 24th at Southern Junction, Irvine, Texas, Spring Stampede.
WWE
going down, and you said it's on pay-per-view, IPTV. So, yes. Guys, when we know, we'll get the link for the next episode so you guys can get that up there too and check it out. Someone wants to know, Ryan wants to know, what a typical cardio workout would be for you, Wes.
Man. We'll have to do that on the next.
You're figuring it out now, aren't you?
What?
Are you figuring it out? Like you're working on that right now?
Well, no, because I do a different cardio.
Oh, you switch it up.
I don't ever do the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Like because cardio to me is boring.
Yeah.
So I have to like switch it up. So it could be like one day I'll do 15 minutes hard on the treadmill, 15 minutes hard on the bike, 15 minutes hard on the Stairmaster, 15 minutes hard on the elliptical, and then do it all over again.
Right.
Or then some days I'll jump rope or do today. Like today I jump roped, then I did sprints, then I did speed steps, then I did side shuffles, then I did burpees, then I did the rope, then I did the elliptical for 25.
Damn,
then
did you
sauna for like 25 minutes.
Did you lift today too?
Yeah.
Damn, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I only work out, I only, with real weights, I only do it for about 35 minutes to about 40. The rest
do
is cardio.
Are you pretty good about getting to work out when you're on the road? Or is it harder than?
I did this last time a little bit. But, I mean, if the hotel has a gym there, yeah, normally I'll go work out. And it, like, I can get a workout done in a hotel gym if they just have dumbbells and, like, one or two machines.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a bicycle or elliptical, like I can get a good enough workout where I feel good. Because I'm not trying, at this moment of life, I'm not trying to be the biggest guy in the world. I'm just trying to maintain and look good. So by that, I don't need to do heavy weights. I just more focus on repetition and doing the exercises properly and
yeah,
not hurting myself.
So in a few weeks, going to be best shape of your life. What's the diet like then from now till then?
I eat good no matter what. So diet for me, diet's not the problem. For me, I'm just going to be pushing myself harder and cardio-wise, so I'll get more lean and ripped up. Diet's good. I don't ever veer from not having a good diet. I've always stayed pretty healthy.
Yeah, yeah. And you cook everything basically yourself, and everything's fresh.
Yeah, I don't eat fast food, or I don't drink soda. I don't drink alcohol. So,
which is crazy, dude. Soda, like, it's crazy people who don't realize how bad soda is. You know what I mean? Like, just
only water.
Yeah.
Water, yeah. Lemonade, and Gatorade.
Yeah, sugar-free Gatorade. You rock full. You rock
if
them
I'm
heavy.
Drink Gatorade, I'm gonna have my full a regular Gatorade.
That's your treat.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bro.
Strawberry lemonade one is my favorite.
Nice. All right. I like them. I'm a lemon lime guy, man. I'm old school.
But when you only drink that Gatorade and water, you mix up the flavors.
Oh, yeah.
It's like.
Oh, I'm sure. Mine's more nostalgic. It's just I always grew up seeing the lemon lime one and always being like, I want that. Let me have that. And being told I couldn't because, no, you don't need it. Just drink water. And then. Now it's like, oh, I'm going to buy me a lemonade Gatorade because I love them now.
Yeah, we had them for football practice and wrestling practice. So they would just make it the big old pile. And
Yeah. And like I said, I didn't play any of those sports, so I didn't get Gatorade. Soccer, we had to bring our own water.
Gatorade at my school for soccer?
But, yeah, I don't know. They didn't hear. I don't know. We weren't special. Dude, but it's different here. Like, I do feel like high school sports are a bit more appreciated in other states than where I'm at in Minnesota. I really do.
Play football or wrestle.
See, like, here, hockey is Like, football's big, but, like, Minnesota's hockey's big, you know, where, like, you go to other places, like I've seen Florida, I've seen, like, Texas, like, the football programs are usually pretty crazy at the high schools.
Yeah, packed stadiums.
Right. You know what I mean?
I've seen Raymond James pack for a high school tournament.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Man.
There are schools that travel all around the world to play, like, these schools in Miami that are, like, the best football schools in the world. Like, and that Texas, California, and Florida are pretty much, like, the top in football. Like I'm talking about not, like, upper. I mean, we are the top in football right now.
Yeah.
Champions, but I'm talking about more of, like, Pop Warner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like, youth football. Our programs in Florida are, like, outrageous. I mean, there's youth football programs ran by, like, crazy superstars. I mean, Snoop Dogg had a reality TV show about the Pop Warner.
Yeah.
And they were packing stadiums. And
trust
me, it wasn't because of Snoop Dogg. It was because of these kids. Like, they love that football that much, you know. In Florida, like, you can play sports year-round. So you get really good athletes. And that's why a lot of people move to Florida to play sports, or Texas, is because you're able to play sports all year round. You're never not able to go outside and play.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unless it's lightning, but, you know, I'm going
to
pretty much go outside and play.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's, and like I said, that's why it's like opposite up here. It's like hockey's the bigger deal here.
Yeah,
because here,
that's inside, and you're always able to, like, that's what everyone can go to because it's the easiest thing and probably the warmest, believe it or not. I mean,
well, and it's free. Like, that's how a lot of it happens here, because where, you know, you go to those towns where it's a lot of lakes and ponds, and when they freeze over, like, that's the free entertainment. People just buy their kids skates and go skate on the water. You know what I mean? Yeah, and they just grow up on the ice like that. It's crazy. I wish I would have. I never did. I really wish I would have played hockey. I think I would have been good.
You would have.
Hell yeah, bro. I'd be just pushing my weight into people on the boards.
Yeah,
I'd be up for getting on some skates.
That would help you get in shape, too.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. I wouldn't say no.
My buddy does. He's from Canada. He lives here in Florida, and he just joined a random, like, youth, like, I mean, a random club.
Yeah.
And, like, met a bunch of cool friends, and he does little tournaments and stuff like that. I was like, damn, I didn't even know that was around. He was like, yeah.
Like, yeah, dude. That's awesome. They actually do a men's tournament up here. I used to do the MC work for it, and they still do it.
And he has, like, really bad health, but he's got a lot better because of mold infection. He had to get put in his chest.
Yeah.
But he still was able to play hockey. So.
Hell yeah. More power to that guy, dude.
Anybody can do what you got to do.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Put your mind to it.
Well, I guess now it's kind of – well, now's the time. You sign up now so you'll learn how to skate. So next hockey season you can join a club or, you know, get some buddies together.
Yeah.
And so that way you're not, like, learning how to do it. You already, like, got it down. That's
right.
Do.
I know. I do. If I ever lost enough weight and get some speed back in me, I would definitely join a men's soccer league around here too. That'd be a lot of fun. I miss that. Yeah, man. I'm down.
I'm just saying less impact on your body.
Yeah, I just need to get some wide skates.
I really don't see you running up and down the field.
No, I'm defense, man. I only do half field. I can't do the whole field. Put me in back so I can hang back, though. Don't make me go back and forth. I ain't no midfielder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think you should play hockey.
Like I said, I'm down. I would definitely try it. I will definitely try it. Look at that. 52 years old, playing in Colorado. Good for him, Dan.
Yeah, dude. That's badass.
Tell your brother-in-law good on him. All right, man. Well, I think this is a good spot to wrap up. You got some big stuff coming your way. We're going to bring some more episodes your way, too. We'll probably hopefully work on a guest episode here soon, too. Get one of those going. It's been a minute.
Well,
and
Knox or Garrett for the next one.
There you go. Either Mike Knox or Garrett Bischoff coming through. And we're about to hit Mania week, too, once this weekend ends. So a whole lot of stuff going on next week. You can find me on the 2 Count on Twitch. Actually, it's John Russell Comedy. on Twitch, but that's where the two count is being held right now. So find us there. We're going to do some watch-alongs and stuff next during Mania Week and all that good stuff. So we'll bring you guys another Briscoe and Big A show. Find the audio versions exclusively on VOCNation.com. Find it over there. Very cool things going on with the VOC Nation. They're going big worldwide, guys. Check them out. You can find them online. And again, VOCNation.com. And again, Briscoe and Big A show. YouTube, subscribe, click the notification bell so you know when things are going on. Got that Vegas vlog on there. Got the you and Red's last vlog you did together on there. Got your awesome cooking show on there. So, I mean, a lot of cool stuff coming to it as well. So make sure you guys check it out. And you got anything else you want to let everybody know?
No, just get ready for our next episode. Should be a nice one. And you guys just share and like. That's all we ask.
Yeah, as always, please share our show with all your friends and like it and all that good stuff. As always, make sure you're tuning in on Wednesday's AEW Dynamite and check out Red Velvet as she's kicking butt. They got her bad last night, though. I didn't like that, Wes. I didn't like it last night.
That's a different conversation altogether.
I didn't like it. I was yelling at my TV like, oh, hell no, Jade. Hell no. But, yeah, we'll get more into that on the later episode. But, guys, make sure you check it out. Support her. Support Wes and all that good stuff. And we will see you guys on our next episode. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. Happy Easter, everybody.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks, having started way back in 2010. VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Briscoe, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
This is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.